Blessed going out, blessed in the field, amen. We serve a great big God whose blessings just run us down, amen. So good to see you all. If there's someone, like one of the ladies, you're like freezing, who wants to be our freezing marker that you can let the ushers know? I'm usually the freezing marker, so who's going to be over here? Okay, girls, if our sis, is it already freezing, sis, over there? So I thought so too, so maybe just raise it up, just one or two, and that'll help these cute little ladies out. Let me know it's hard to hear Jesus when you're cold. I'm distracted with, I need something to warm me up. I want to make sure everybody hears the word, amen? So I have good news. It is Elder Mike and Denise's anniversary tomorrow. And he's not even in here to give heck, so make sure you shout out to him. 16 years. They're just babies. They're just babies. And Denise saw him across the sanctuary in Beloit. She said, ooh, man of God. Oh, and he scored with you, didn't he? So anyway, what a blessing. I love them both so much. And then, all right, ladies, don't forget, I want you to mark your calendars. We're going to start actually marketing tomorrow, but we have our annual women's conference coming up, and this year is called Passionate, and we're going to ask the Lord to awaken your passion. Everybody in their marriages should say amen. Husbands, get your wives to this conference. We're going to awaken your passion for God, your passion for your purpose, your passion in your marriage, and whatever the Lord wants to awaken you. Amen. So Pastor Gloria will be here Friday night on the 27th, which is my mom, and we're looking forward to hearing her. Amen. How many of you better have Bishop back in the house? I know, I am too. So he'll be here that weekend. So mom will be Friday night. Saturday morning, I'm speaking. Minister Erica Moore from Faith Christian Center will be here. She's going to bless you. You don't want to miss it. And then we're going to have some breakout sessions until noon. So it is free. Everybody say free. Free. Free is always the will of God. If it's free, that's the will of God. So we make it free so that you can get your friends in the house of the Lord. So we don't want any girl to be left behind, so we just trust the Lord at our offerings the night of the conference that God just provides, and he always does, amen? So get your girlfriends here, start signing up. What we're going to have you do is register, even though it's free, so that we can get a head count, because we know we're going to pack this place out. How many was here last year? And you saw we had to overflow, so you already know. Ladies, get your seat as quickly as possible, get your friends signed up, so that we can get ready for a great weekend, amen? We're going to have a good time together. But I'm going to share the word with you for a little bit tonight. The Lord's really been putting in my heart for Faith Builders a series that I just started putting together on miracles. Because I believe we're going into a season where God wants to give us miracles. Not only in our own personal lives, but I'm talking about releasing the miracles into other people's lives. I believe the Lord is shifting, especially here at Faith Builders, us beautiful people who attend Faith Builders, from being just spectators to being impartators out in the world. Amen? I think we've been equipped. We've been knowing the word of God. But God wants to begin to use us as his kids for the miracles of the kingdom of God. So I really want to, I'm putting that together now. I don't know, a few weeks down the road. But I really want to begin to spark our hearts to believe God for the demonstrations of the Holy Spirit in our life. So my message tonight is along that line, and it's called this. It's called Declare It and Demonstrate It. And it's not enough just to know Jesus and declare how good he is, to come into church and to shout out about how good he is. How many of us can get into a really good worship song or praise song at church and we're shouting it out, amen? But it's not enough just to know the wonders of God. That's a great start. But we as his sons and daughters need to begin to demonstrate the working of the kingdom of God. There is no greater joy here on earth that you could do, and I've done some pretty fun things. You've heard some of my stories, right? But there's no greater joy in life when you begin to demonstrate the work of the kingdom of God yourself. Now, we can shout out a testimony here where maybe myself or one of the pastors and elders prayed for someone, and I promise you, at this altar on Sunday mornings, you may not even realize it, but people are being delivered of demonic spirits right here at this altar. People are being healed right here at this altar. People are being touched by the power of God, and that's wonderful. I'm excited because God's using my hands, and I'm being a willing vessel, and I'm on fire, but God doesn't want it to stop just with the pastors and elders. Every one of you sitting in this room should be moving in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit with signs and wonders following the believer. And when you begin to be a demonstration or a vessel for God to flow through your life, you want to talk about getting on fire for Jesus. It'll be a nonstop flame that will never go out as you continue to be a willing vessel to get out of your comfort zone to pray for people, to tell people about Jesus, to maybe just love on them at a gas station when the Holy Spirit is pulling on you. My heart's prayer for this church and all the people that God is bringing here is that we will have that. That's why I'm teaching on the voice of God, that you will have that unction of the Holy Spirit to give the love of God away, to give it through the demonstration of laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. The Bible says in James 2:14, I'm not going to go there, but it says faith without works is dead. And that word dead there actually means useless. So you can have all this excitement for what God can do, but if you're not working the kingdom, that faith is useless. You'll have to forgive me. I just got Invisaligns, so if I'm spitting a little bit more than normal, I'm trying to behave normal, but it's just not coming. I know you're hearing the fishy sounds, so I do apologize for that. I will get it under control. I just got these new gadgets in my mouth. But the faith in believing God is useless if you're not working the kingdom of God. And I'm going to tell you, when you begin to do the kingdom of God in your life, it is scary. And it is uncomfortable. When God calls you for the first time to maybe, you know, at a grocery store, maybe at your job, and God calls you to pray for that person, that is uncomfortable and scary. Because one, you may not know what they're going to think or feel, right? But I can tell you, I walked through hospital wings back in the day when you could, and I went from room to room to room, and every sick person never denied prayer. Because they have a need. People in the world today have a need. They have a hurt, and they need hope, and they need healing, like our brother Jason tonight. Thank God he has a place to come to the kingdom and to have prayer. But what about those who will never step foot in the house of God? Where is their hope? Where is their healing? Where is their deliverance? And you know where it's at? It's sitting in these little blue chairs here tonight. It's you sitting here that God wants to work through into this community. How is Faith Builders going to have the revival that we desire? By you allowing the demonstration of the Holy Spirit to flow through your life and to get uncomfortable, amen? Everybody say uncomfortable. Because that's what I want you to get. I want that drawing of the Holy Spirit to begin to speak to you about your coworkers, about your family members. And as I was preparing this tonight, it was even like God was saying we should be having the demonstration of the Holy Spirit even in our own family units. That husbands, you should be laying hands on your children, or dads should be laying hands on your children and declaring the Spirit of the Lord to flood their lives, releasing healing into their bodies, amen? Prophesying if you have a helpmate, prophesying over your helpmate. I believe the gifts of the Spirit should be used for our family first. Because if you can get the courage to pray for your wife, I promise you, you'll have great courage to go pray for somebody in the world. Because the scariest thing to do, I think, is to pray for someone who knows your weaknesses, who knows the real you. They know, you know, the ugly side of who you are. But you have to know tonight, which I'm gonna give you some points, that it's not you demonstrating the work. You are a vessel allowing the demonstration of the Holy Spirit to be poured out of you. So when you lay hands on the sick, when you're sharing the love of Jesus, it is not necessarily even your words that are going to shift their heart. It is going to be the power of the Holy Spirit that is flowing through you into their lives. And that's what we have to lean on, is the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? So I want you to open up to Acts chapter 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Now I'm going to give a few scriptures tonight, because I really want to empower you with the word of God to show that God has called you to demonstrate the works of the kingdom, amen? Because sometimes I think we think, well, demonstration is for the pastors or the elders or people who have gone to Bible college or maybe has a little extra training. But that's not biblical. If you are his son, you have Jesus in your life, and you are a daughter of the king, you have the anointing of God and the anointed one, amen, to lay hands and have the miracles of God flow through your life. And sometimes I think the Lord moves through a childlike faith, maybe more than someone who is seasoned, or maybe in Bible college. I have served the Lord since I was 20, many, 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 many years. And sometimes when you get in your longer faith with God, you almost get a little bit more in your own insecurities and your own. It's just this childlike person who is just on fire for Jesus that does radical things for the Lord because they don't care about what anybody thinks in their life. And that's what I'm really asking the Lord to stir up in your hearts as I share this message, and even the weeks to come with all the messages. I believe the Lord will move that way. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, we have seen the mission of Jesus in the stories of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But in Acts, Jesus has finished his job, and he's about to ascend to the right hand of God the Father. And in verse 9, it says this: now when he, Jesus, had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Can you imagine that ascension? The man that they followed, the man that they trusted, the man that they knew was going to be the King of Kings who laid his life down, now is finished his job and he's leaving them. And the only identity that they knew is to have the one who was the signs and wonders be among them. So here they are, the one that they trusted and followed, who performed all the signs and wonders, now is ascending to heaven, and he's saying, my job is done. I've called you now to go be commissioners of the gospel of the good news. I've called you to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I've called you to lay hands on demonic spirits and see people set free by the power of God. No longer is it just Jesus that paid the price for that victory, but now he's saying, because of my ascension, because of my death, burial, and resurrection, I've empowered you with that same power. Amen? Doesn't say in small print, pastors in full-time ministry. These are disciples. These are followers of Christ, that the trust, the one that they trusted, now seems far away from them. And the Bible says in verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, what were they doing? They had a commission from Jesus to go. Go and wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. Go and share the good news. Go and lay hands on the sick. And they're watching Jesus ascend, and what are they standing there doing? Waiting. They're still looking into heaven. I believe with all of my heart, I could be wrong, and this is not Bible, this is Barb Pruitt theology, but I believe if they're still standing there looking, that maybe they're waiting for that return. Maybe they didn't know, was he just going to go up for a second and come back? There was no time frame. He says, I'm going to come back one day. So maybe the message was, we need Jesus to do what we're called to do. They're standing there looking. How many of us are in these end times that we're living in going, I can't wait for the return of Jesus. Jesus, come back soon, right? We're waiting and we're looking, but Jesus is saying, there's work to be done. Quit looking for my return. Yes, look for my return, the signs. And I'm not saying that, but he's saying there's a work to be done. There's a world to be healed. There's a world to be saved from hell. There is a commission that we still have to do. And we've got to watch this mentality that we're looking for what Jesus can do for us and begin to be the commissioners and the demonstrators with the power of God through our life. Or we will miss the moment of this end time revival that's about to happen. I know the world seems like it is falling apart. It's a tragedy what happened in Vegas. It's an evil act of the devil to bring more division into this country like never before. What a devastation. And it is our job as King's kids to go be that hope and light and love into a world who doesn't understand. And we may not have all the answers. You may not have all the understanding, all the answers, but you do have love, and you do have prayer, and you do have compassion. And we have to be willing to be that extension, amen? So verse 10 says, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will so come like in like manner as you saw him go into heaven, amen? So let's go over to now Luke chapter 9. And my first point this evening is God wants you to demonstrate his power. Number one, Luke chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. And I really want to show you it through the word so that you can have a full understanding of what God has for you. In the first verse that I read to you, Luke chapter 9. In this first story of Luke, I'm going to share with you, it was the first commission of the 12 disciples. So it was Jesus doing the works of the kingdom. Now he's saying, I'm commissioning you disciples to go and do the works of the ministry. So in verse 1, it says this, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Who did Jesus give power and authority to? Them. Who has God given power and authority to tonight? You. Say me. He gave it to the disciples because one man had a mission to release the power of the Holy Spirit to empower his disciples to now go be the hands and feet of Jesus. To a world where Jesus could only reach a few in the natural. Now he's sending out 12 disciples. You go to where you're called to go and you be a bearer of this good news. You lay hands on the sick. You cast out demons and don't be afraid. He gave them power and authority. Now I want to stop there for a minute. We don't have to go there. They'll have it on the board. In Genesis 1:26, I want to read the scripture verse to you. In the very beginning, when God created man, he said, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness and let them have dominion, right? At the very beginning, God gave you dominion and authority over all the earth. He said dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That was dominion authority. From our creation, God says, I've given you power over every works of the enemy. Over anything on this earth that has the name that's under the name of Jesus, you have authority over. Sickness, disease, cancer, fear, abandonment, whatever it is, failure, you have dominion authority over everyone that you have at your job. You are given that power from the foundation of the world. He said, I made you in my image. You are made in the image of God, the creator. God is not a respecter of persons. He's not looking across this crowd going, okay, they look spiritual enough. They did some good works. I'm going to use them through my spirit. Yeah, they read their Bible a little bit. God's not scanning this crowd going, who has value? God's looking, who is available? Who is available tonight? Who is willing to get out of the comfort zone and say, I'm going to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to share Jesus with my friends if they want to cast me off and never want to speak to me again. I'm going to have courageous faith to do what the Holy Spirit's told me to do. All God's looking for is willingness. Catherine Kuhlman, how many know who Catherine Kuhlman is? And the Lord said, she's walked, she had these, you know who she is? Jesus loves you. And she just had like this long, and she was wonderful. And you know what she said? She had signs, wonders, miracles, evangelistic anointing. And she said, I never felt like I was the chosen one. I felt like God chose someone else and they denied it. And the Lord says, I know you'll obey me. I don't want to be that person that the Lord bypasses because he said, I know I can do something through you, but because you won't surrender to me, I'm going to go around you to somebody else who will. I want to be that person. Amen? I want to be willing. You have dominion authority. God gave it to you. Now we know sin came in the world and crushed that authority. It was taken away from us. So if we fast forward back to Luke, what is he saying? I gave you power and authority. I returned it back to you. I'm putting it into your hands. You were stripped from it, but now you have all power and authority in your life. You guys are more powerful than you could ever imagine. You have more power in your life, and the enemy makes you feel insignificant, worthless, and unspiritual, and makes you feel eliminated for doing anything for the Lord. That's why we come to church, and we just get filled up again, and we walk away, and we let life drain us. And then we come back on Sunday, and we get filled up again, and then we go out, and we let life drain us, and we let life lie to us, and we feel eliminated from the course when God's saying, I have given you the power, you are an overcomer. And all I have to do is realize I have that power, not through the mirror of my insecurities or my failures or my lack of education or how spiritual I feel. I am victorious because Jesus gave me the power and authority to be victorious. Amen? He said, so he sent them, go back to Luke chapter 8. He gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. What are we called to do? Preach the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Miracles, signs, wonders, healing, breakthrough, compassion. That is our commission. We should be going into all the world with that authority and trusting the God in us to flow through us, and he won't leave you hanging. And I'll tell you a little bit more how to do that in just a minute. You have dominion over evil in life, amen? Dominion over evil has been given, but we can expect to see spiritual breakthrough to the degree we receive and apply that authority in our prayer, preaching, teaching, and spiritual ministry. So there's no handicap in how you flow, but the handicap is how much of that authority will you receive and accept and flow through? That's the basis. Will you go out of here tonight and believe that you have dominion authority over every works of the enemy in your own life and in the lives of other people around you? If you can accept that authority, the level that you believe that's true is the level that you will flow in the power of God. I can tell you there's times I've been up here preaching and I feel like Charlie Brown's school teacher. Anybody remember her? Wah, 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 wah. Right? I feel like I'm all mumbled jumbled. I feel like I'm not even, I can think so many things about you guys while I'm preaching. I'm like, cool hat, that's an awesome shirt. And I'm declaring the word the whole time, right? And I don't feel spiritual sometimes up here. And then God's like, I want you to lay hands on that person and the devil needs to come out of him. And I'm like, what? I don't even feel spiritual. But see, in that moment, I step into, out of the Barb Pruitt suit, because it's not Barb that's about to minister to them. I'm stepping into my dominion authority that I am a righteous woman of God, and I have the anointing flowing through me. In any moment, I can pull on that dominion authority, not based on how I feel or even anybody thinks about me, but I'm stepping in that anointing for that person who needs to be freed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm getting myself out of the way. It doesn't matter how I feel, how I think. I've had a bad day. When somebody's life is hanging on the line, none of that should matter. They are dying and going to hell. They are bound and discouraged, and they need hope. And it is our responsibility to get out of ourselves and begin to demonstrate the works of the kingdom. Amen? So we've got to receive that in our life. And I'm telling you, God has moved in moments that I felt the weakest in God. And God's like, good, because it's not about you anyway. There's been times I felt so spiritual, I'm like, yeah, the devil's gonna come out of them. And there's nothing. Like, nothing happens. Like, in my mind, I could see them like falling out on the Holy Spirit. Like, I could really, see God doing something. And it was all flesh. Right? But it's when you feel the weakest and you think, God, what if I pray and nothing happens? Anybody been there? What do I do? I'm scared. What if I don't have the right words? But I want to be a willing vessel. I'm going to know that the moment I accept the challenge, it is God flowing through me by his Holy Spirit. It's the dominion authority he gave me. How many of you being parents or grandparents or God bless you, having authority, you did that in school of ministry too the other night. How many of you have a position of authority in your life, and when somebody challenges that authority, what do? Your kids ever challenge your authority? Oh, man, ugly Barb comes out. If Samaya ever challenges my authority, it is like another spirit. Like, my eyes go blank. I see stars. I'm like, this child is not challenging my authority right now. I'm coming out with all barrels. I'm coming out. You are going to back up across that line because you cannot cross my authority. Right? We need to have that indignance when the enemy tries to demean who we are in Christ, tries to take away that beautiful spirit of the Lord, that tries to make me feel eliminated. Our stars need to go in our eyes and say, how dare the devil come in my home? How dare he come in my emotions and tell me that I'm eliminated? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I am filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You've got to get a righteous indignation against the enemy that tells you you are eliminated from the works of the kingdom, because that is a lie. And the Bible says that's his job. He is the author of lies. So guess what he does really well? Lies. He's really good at it. And if he can lie enough to you to make you feel like you could never do anything for the Lord, guess what? You'll just be a traveling Christian that comes into church and never really know who you are. And God wants you to know you're empowered, amen? And that you are capable. So we need to, one, be willing to act on it, demonstrate, right? Not enough to proclaim the kingdom, but we have to now demonstrate it. Get a little uncomfortable, right? There are times when you step out. Where's Bobby at? Bobby, wave at me. Is he in here? Can I share your story? This is the cutest story. Bobby was sharing his school of ministry Monday night, which is awesome. I don't know if it's too late to get in. I think he'd probably let you. But they're talking on the presence, power, and purpose of God. Something like that. That's my dad's book. They're studying it. And Bobby, so what I want to say is sometimes when you step out in faith, you're not always going to get it right. But what's important is that you still obey the Lord. And maybe in that moment, you're not seeing what you thought you were going to see, but you have to trust that Lord, the Lord's working in the unseen. And Bobby had the cutest story. He had just been studying on miracles, I think. Chapter of Acts, the book of Acts. He was studying the book of Acts, I think. Anyway, I'll just tell my version, Bobby. So, but the end result is the same. So he's like all stirred up because like, man, he wants to pray for somebody. He was all excited. And so he gets off the bus and he's at Walmart and he sees this guy who's deaf. And he's like, he comes out of Walmart and he's like, he's trying to talk to the guy and the guy's trying to explain to him he's deaf and doesn't understand. And Bobby just gets, he's like, God all over me. He takes the guy and he takes his hand and he hits him as hard as he can right in the chest. Right in the chest. He's like, I think he just thought that spirit was going to bounce right out of him. You know, like, devil come out, right, Bobby? Like, he just felt all this authority. Well, the guy, like, freaked out. He ran into Walmart. He got the manager and the manager. They all came out, and I don't remember what the end result was. And we were all kind of laughing about it. But I said, but you don't know what happened a day later. We don't know what God did. It may have seemed foolish that Bobby stepped out in this faith, but we don't know. So maybe in that moment, you don't get that answered prayer. Maybe that moment, they look at you cross-eyed like you're crazy. Who cares? You obeyed the Holy Spirit. And you never know. I mean, he may have talked for days to his friends, this crazy dude, you know, slapped me right in the chest. And but guess what? The Lord could use that to provoke this thing to hear God, to be drawn to the Lord. We just don't know what the Lord's doing, amen? So step out in your courageous faith and trust the Lord. All right, number two, what time is it? Is it 8 o'clock? Oh, my gosh. We're going to end with number two, y'all. And then I'll come back and do it again, okay? All right, number two is know that God is working with you. And this is probably a beautiful place to stop anyway. Actually, we got about 10 minutes, don't we? Okay, so let's do this. Mark chapter 16, verse 19. How many of you are feeling a little provoking to be demonstrating the works of the kingdom? I hope all of you are. I want to pray for you just real quick at the end of this service and really commission you in what the Lord wants to do. But Mark chapter, 16, verse 19. So then, this is Christ ascending to the right hand of God. This is the second version of it, okay? This is Mark's story. So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. So what is it saying there in that portion? What Jesus did is, it is finished. It's finished. Jesus fulfilled his will here on earth. He's given us all power, all authority, all dominion. It's finished. The Bible says that when he was done, he went to the right hand of God the Father. So when you think of Jesus, where is he today? He's at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for the saints. That's what the Bible says. So Jesus did it all. There's nothing more that we could do or he could do to give you more than what you need. You've already been given it. It's just tuning in and obeying. And yeah, maturing and those kind of things. But when you're first stepping out, it's just being a willing vessel. So it is finished. Verse 20 says this, and they went out. How many of them? They all went out. Not just one of them. They went out and preached everywhere. See, sometimes we think church is the place where things should be preached. If I could just get my friends to church, and I've said that, get them here, we'll get them saved. And that's still true. If you get them here at least, I promise you, we will present the gospel. But the Bible says that they went everywhere preaching. That means it was in, you know, wherever in those days, you know. But for our everywhere, it's Walmart in the parking lot, right? It's on the bus. It's at the grocery store. It's at my job. They went everywhere. Get out of this religious mindset that I've got to get them to church, and that's the only place where the power of God flows. That's a deception of the enemy. The power is flowing through you every day at every moment. And somebody who needs that power may never walk through that back door, and I pray that they do. But before they do, they may need a manifestation or a demonstration of the power of God first. Can you imagine someone in your parking lot at your job, you lay hands on them, man, they get delivered. I don't know, they get filled with the Holy Spirit. Or you prophesy something about their marriage, never mention their marriage. They're going to say, what must I do to be saved? What are you, God? I need more of who you are. That's how you win the lost to Jesus. It's not just our much speaking. It is living out loud in demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Someone will follow you and listen when you touch their heart. Amen. It's not just preaching religious rhetoric. The world don't care about religious rhetoric. They've turned a deaf ear to the church because the church has given God a black eye. And religion and legalism and all those things. The world needs more than that. They need to see the demonstration of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. And this is what I wanted you to see. When you go out into the world, you are not doing it yourself. When they went out everywhere, the Lord was with them, working with them. That word working means this. Excuse me, if you study it in the Greek, it means the Lord came together. He cooperative or is a synergy. So when you reach out by faith to pray for someone, the Spirit of the Lord comes and works with you. He collaborates with you. The Bible says he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. So that moment that you're laying hands and you're going, I am scared to death. Or maybe you're afraid to share your testimony in Jesus. You have to know the Lord is coming right alongside of you. He will not leave you. He will not abandon you. You may feel uncomfortable. You may feel stupid. But I promise you, the Lord is working with you in that moment. It's a vertical faith in God when you step out. This is what working means. It's a vertical faith in God and a horizontal work to a needy world. What does that make a sign of? The vertical faith in God and a horizontal, work to a needy world. Everywhere you go, you are bringing the cross of Jesus. And you are not doing it alone. God's Spirit is with you. I can't tell you the times I've laid hands on people, my knees shaking. Trusting the Lord. But it's not my responsibility. It's not your responsibility to heal them. It's your responsibility to obey God. And I told you my story of the lady in Target that she was behind me. I'll share it really quick for those who may have not heard it. And before I even looked back, the Lord said, buy the things she's going to buy. The Lord put in my heart to buy her groceries. And I turned around and it was just one thing of paper towel. And I was so embarrassed. I'm like, God, I don't want to buy one paper towel. I didn't want her to think I thought she was poor and couldn't afford it, you know. My mind was racing, and the Lord's like, you buy her paper towel. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I turned around, I said, hi, so my name's Barb, and I just really feel like I want to buy your paper towel, you know. And so I cling, it goes across, and all of a sudden, she just starts weeping. And what she ended up breaking down and telling me is she just came from a doctor, and she was diagnosed with cancer, and her life was falling apart. And I said, well, I have been sent by God to do more than just buy your paper towels. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to lay hands on you and believe God to heal your body. Amen. So we went around that register right in Target. I didn't care. I'm like, Lord, you're going to touch this woman's life. I never heard back. I don't know. I didn't see cancer literally fall off. But all I know is I had to be obedient in that morning, in that moment. And maybe I was just that brick of faith for her so she could get to the next brick of faith until she gets to that miracle. I don't know what part I played, but I knew I had to be obedient. So quit looking for the end result. God is working with you. If he's sending you, he's with you, and there's a reason in it. And you trust him, amen? Because even the scripture says some plant, some water, and some hundredfold. Hey, I love the hundredfold all the time. How many wouldn't like that moment? Your blind eyes open, you know, deaf, running around parking lot, going crazy here and now. Like, who wouldn't want that, right? But the, every time a step of faith you take, you'll be courageous for the next. And you'll be courageous for the next. I remember I was laying hands on this lady. When I was first learning how to pray and prophesy, I submitted everything to my parents because I don't want to be like one of these crazy Jezebel women who did my own thing. Like, I was always wanting to be very submitted. And I wanted to make sure my gift was honest. Like, how many of you have I prayed for you before and I'd say, was that from God? I'll prophesy to say, was that from God? I make you confirm it. Because I don't want to think I'm just out there like prophelying like crazy. Right? I want to know I'm hearing from the Lord. And so this one lady that I laid hands on, I didn't know what she had a need. My mom was gone, so I laid hands on her stomach, and my dad laid hands on my hand. And as soon as I laid hands on her, I saw a cork, like the top of a wine bottle, a cork, and it just went into her stomach. It was the strangest vision, but I saw it as clear as a bell, and I didn't say nothing. I'm like, heck no, I am not telling. That's the craziest thing I ever saw. So the next day, we get a phone call to the church. And the lady calls back and says she went to the doctor and she had had a bleeding ulcer and the Lord healed her ulcer and left a scab there. And I went, that's what I saw in my vision. I saw a cork go into her stomach and dry that thing up. But I didn't understand it, so I didn't give it. So you have to trust the Lord in you. You have to trust that God is speaking. And, you know, the Lord healed her and she got her testimony. But how about somebody else that just needs that word of hope in that morning? Moment, I mean. Or that scripture verse. You might just have a scripture verse. I gotta give you the scripture verse. Or maybe you're going to go pay for somebody's gas, the gas station. Just want to tell you, I'm paying for this because God wants you to know he loves you so much. And I don't know what you're going through, but he loves you with an unconditional love. And maybe in that moment, I don't know if you can pray however far it gets led, but be obedient to the Lord, amen? Because the Lord is working with you. Faith without works is dead, amen? God is working with you. All right. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. I'll stop there tonight. I have like six more points, y'all. It's like a five-part series. I should have known better. What I want to do tonight before we go is I want to commission this over your life. I'm going to put up this last scripture verse, Lucia. Matthew, I just feel led to put this up there. Matthew 7:13. I want to commission you and really ask the Lord to just mantle you in this season, to show the demonstrations of God in your life and to not be afraid and to really step out in courage. And again, maybe it'll just be laying hands on your wife when she's sick and you're just going to start there. That's awesome. That's not a small thing. Practice on your family. What do you got to lose, right? They can think you're crazy. It's okay. Get comfortable with your family. Pray over your children. Amen? Start somewhere. But Matthew 7 says, enter by the narrow gate. And I know we use this for salvation, and it's true, but I feel it's in anything that God's called us to do. You know, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by in it. It's easy to go the easy way. It's broad. Everybody else is going there. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Oh, yeah, that's the road to Jesus. But there are few who will get on the uncomfortable zone to demonstrate the works of God. And how many of us want to be a part of that few? I believe God's called faith builders to be more than just a part of that few. I feel God's called this church to be a great commission for that. That we should be all over this city laying hands and then getting them healed and then bringing them in. Amen.